You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
What's up? Welcome to 49ers Before Dark. It is really freaking bright outside here on the West Coast. I'm in the Bay. He's somewhere in Oregon. How you doing?
I'm in Portland. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Doing really good. Not on the East Coast this week. No, not for a few weeks, actually. I'm having a lot done on my house, Grant. And I don't know if you've ever lived through a remodel, but it's hell. You have lived through a bit of a remodel. I remember when I was there last year.
Yeah.
It's not great. And this remodel is, so we've done our bathrooms, we've done our kitchen. Now we're doing all of our floors. And that is not something I wanted to live through. So I said, hey, let's go visit our family for a few weeks and have some fun. So that's what we're doing.
Also, it seems like not a bad time to leave Florida.
No.
Part of the year.
This is the best time of the year. Best time of the year to leave Florida and best time of the year to be in Oregon as well. So couldn't have asked for better weather and better circumstances, I guess.
I love it. All right. Well, let's talk about this meeting. Brandon Ayuk requested a meeting with the 49ers. It was his idea. He made it happen. And Tom Pelissero reported today that it was a good meeting. That everything that needed to be said was said. And I don't know. It just had this really positive spin. Like it was, it aired out the resentment. Do you buy or sell this report?
I sell it. And here's the reason why. Tom Pelissero, first of all, it was the most vague nothing burger I've ever seen. His exact quotes were, it was a good meeting. Everything that needed to be said was said. And there's no plans on trading Brandon Ayuk at this time. Okay. So, I mean, we didn't know what happened in that meeting, but what we do know, Grant, is less than 24 hours after said meeting, Brandon Ayuk was back on social media talking a little bit of trash and throwing some jabs in the 49ers side of things, saying, oh, well, I thought they weren't looking to trade me under a report. And it's like, okay, well, clearly the meeting, you didn't get everything off your chest that you needed to, or it didn't go exactly how you had hoped it was going to. Otherwise, you probably would be sitting back and waiting for this new contract to come in. So the fact that now another 24 hours has passed and Tom Pelissero comes out with the PR spin side of things, and really, like I said, he didn't say anything. This was a big nothing burger. So no, I don't.
When you say the PR spin real quick, I think it's interesting. Like there's two sides leaking here, the Niners right. and Ayuk's camp. And right. you don't know for sure, but this one really feels like it helps the Niners. It's like, hey, everyone came out of this really happy. Like, are you sure? The guy who set up the meeting got nothing out of it and was posting snarky things on social media the next day. So yeah, I'm sure it's good from the Niners' perspective in the sense that they still have a working relationship with them for now.
Yeah. Well, no plans to trade him at this moment.
At this exact moment. But moment if someone calls me and offers two first-round picks, that's going down.
Yeah. I mean, the whole trade thing is interesting because the 49ers, I talked about this. You've talked about that. You put it in your article, and I've talked about it as well, where it just seems like the 49ers have unreasonable expectations. It seems like whenever they shop these players, let's remove Brandon Ayuk. Let's go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo saga. Remember that? The offseason where he was coming off of an injury. They had said that they were moving on to Trey Lance. Trey Lance was going to be the starter. Yet they wanted to get multiple second-round picks was the report for Jimmy Garoppolo. When Carson Wentz, who was clearly, at least at that time, as good, if not better, than Jimmy Garoppolo, younger, was traded for, I think, a conditional third or something like that. But the 49ers wanted 2 seconds. And because they didn't get what they wanted, he just sat on the roster, sat on the roster, sat on the roster, and eventually got paid or took a pay cut to come back and be on the team as a backup. But you're telling the league, we don't value this player at the level that we want to receive in return. So you want a new team to pay Brandon Ayuk all the money you're not willing to pay him and give up capital to do so? That doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense when you realize that John Lynch is like determined not to lose the negotiation or the trade, right? So in the negotiation, he goes in with Ayuk and says, well, you know, technically, you don't have wide receiver one numbers. You know, technically, you get a lot of one-on-ones because of the offense. And technically, to us, you're not worth what you are to other teams. So this is our offer, and it's in line with Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and high-level wide receiver twos in the league. Sorry. And Ayuk takes it personally, as he said. And he, you know, I don't know, his agent looks around the league and determines that there are other teams that think higher of Ayuk than that. Like, no, we look at him as a number one, and we would pay him accordingly. So we'll try to trade with the 49ers. And it's like, well, the Niners think Ayuk's a number two wide receiver, so we'll offer a second round pick. And the Niners are like, how dare you? Are you kidding? This is the best wide receiver we've had since Jerry Rice. He's an all pro. Like, he's worth multiple first round picks. How disrespectful. It's like, no. You're the one that's saying he's a number two wide receiver. So how can you expect any team to trade that much for him when you don't see him that highly? That's where they put themselves in this little catch 22.
Yeah, but and that's the problem, is that you're letting the world knows exactly what you think of Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
You've said it in every single turn.
Replaceable by Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then to expect everything, because, all right, let's assume they expected a late first round pick in the draft. I don't think that's too crazy to think, like, hey, maybe he could be worth something like that. But now that we're into the offseason, you know you're looking for a pick plus a player. Like, what if they really, I know we're throwing around all these hypotheticals, but it's like, oh, okay, so you want Terry McLaurin, who's done everything that Ayuk has done, maybe a couple years older, and you want a second round pick or whatever? No, absolutely not. You can have Jahan Dotson in a second round pick. You're not getting Terry McLaurin. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all, plus a second round pick. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's like they're in a really tough spot right now because they didn't give them the extension last year. They did what they always do, which is wait and wait. And their position has gotten weaker and weaker. And now all they can kind of cling to is like, well, we have the leverage. He has to play for us. So from Ayuk's perspective, did he go into the meeting saying, look, I don't want to play on the fifth-year option. I want to have some kind of assurance that we're working towards a resolution one way or another, like trade or extension. Is that, are we working in good faith there? Is that something that he might want to say? Like, I don't.
Yeah, I think if I was Ayuk and I was going into that meeting, I would want to air out everything because he's taking it personally, right? And here's what's interesting. A lot of 49er fans have the perspective of like, Ayuk's being a diva. He's talking through social media. Dude, another post. What are we doing? But really, the teams don't talk through Twitter and TikTok, but they definitely talk through the media. They talk through Matt Maiocco. They talk every time they're in front of a podium. Let's just go through the offseason real quick. And if I was Brandon Ayuk, I'd bring all these things up. I would say, all right, first of all, John Lynch, combine, first chance to talk about this. You're willing to let me play on a fifth-year option? It's one of the first things you said. I'm trying to get a deal done, but you're willing to let me be the first big time player of your franchise to play on a fifth year option. All right. Never said that before. Oh, are you willing to trade me? Well, you weren't willing to trade Bosa. You weren't even willing to entertain it in a public eye, but this year you're going to listen to all offers. That's the second thing I would bring up. Then I would bring up the fact that you drafted two wide receivers to potentially replace me. And then when my deal is ready to get done, you went ahead and reworked a deal with the third best wide receiver on this team, Jennings, who is easily replaceable by these guys that you drafted. And you reworked a deal with CMC when his deal was perfectly fine. He had 2 years left on it. But I'm supposed to just be quiet little church mouse and accept whatever you give me and not talk through social media, that's the only leverage I have. That's the only thing I can do. You're talking at every turn. Every time somebody's asked you a question, you've been very candid. You're willing to trade me and you're willing to let me play on a fifth year option. You think I want to hear that in the media?
Great point. I have another parallel for you. To me, this situation is playing out like just like the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. I'll explain. So with Jimmy, the Niners ultimately decided, like, look, you're successful, you're productive, and you are ultimately replaceable. So what they did was they replaced him, but they kept him at the same time. They went and got Trey Lance, and then they tried to figure out what to do with Jimmy and tried to trade him and put him on, and they never quite got the trade that they wanted for him, and so he just left. And they're in the same situation with IU. Great numbers. Key part of the team, ultimately is replaceable. They draft Ricky Pearsall, and now they're trying to work it out with Brandon Ayuk. Like, This is Jimmy Redux. Jimmy hated the Niners by the end. What is the Niners' relationship with Ayuk right now? It seems like it's getting worse by the week. But this meeting was really positive.
Well, and not only that, but remember, when everything was going on with Deebo Samuel, Kyle was like, listen, I'm confident things are going to get done because we haven't spoken yet. Well, now you have spoken to Brandon Ayuk. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were both a part of this meeting, supposedly. And the only thing we've heard is that everything was good and they got out things that needed to be said. But what we do know is Ayuk, right after that meeting, was out on social media, again, frustrated with the way things are being reported and talked about. So, I mean, did it really go that well? And if this was Deebo, things probably would have gone a lot different. So I think it's just, it points to the fact that Ayuk's relationship with Shanahan and this team is very different than some of the other players. And that's okay. It doesn't mean it has to be bad. It's just more business centric.
Yeah. Look, as someone who's had a private sit down meeting with John Lynch in the room, all I can say is that, you know, his definition of a good meeting is probably pretty large. Like when he says things were said that needed to be said, do you think that those things were said in like a calm, friendly way? Or do you think that it got kind of tense and personal at certain times in this meeting? I'm guessing things that needed to be said were probably, if we were in there, it would be probably pretty shocking.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So maybe that's a good thing that they were at least expressed, but maybe it's not a good thing that that's how these sides feel. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know that it got a little, it had to have gotten a little contentious, and that's okay. I guess it all depends on how it ended. But like I said, you can report what you want. All I know is Brandon Ayuk is still out there doing his thing in social media. So how good could it have really gone?
I'm trying to imagine how the meeting went. Ayuk requests it. John Lynch obviously says, absolutely, come in. What would you like to, we're all ears, Brandon. What do you want to say? And Brandon says, I don't freaking appreciate this. I don't freaking appreciate that. I've done nothing but keep my mouth shut for years. I don't know. What do you think? Like, what kind of things do you think I needed to say?
Yeah, I think that what he needed to say is that I've been a good soldier the whole time through. Mm-hmm. When I've been the fourth or fifth option, fine with that. You can turn on any highlight of your best players. Who do you consider your best players? Well, let's look at the guys that you've paid. Deebo Samuel. You can look at CMC. Turn on their highlight. Who's the guy that's blocking downfield every single time for them, with a smile on his face, celebrating? But now that it comes time to get paid, you're telling my agent that I'm not a number one.
Enough. Yeah.
And I'm not productive enough.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm not productive is because I'm not getting the ball.
I'm sacrificing for you. You told me to sacrifice. I bought in.
Yeah. Yeah. And now
you throw that in my face.
Exactly. 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 So you can add that on top of all the whole.
I'm not the one who calls a million freaking runs and is last in the league in pass attempts. Like, that's your philosophy.
Yep.
But
yep.
Yep.
So all those things need to be said on top of like what I laid out already. every chance you've gotten in front of the media, you're willing to trade me. You're willing to let me play on a fifth year. You've drafted my replacement twice over, potentially. You're paying everybody money.
Here's what I would say if I were Ayuk. Look, I completely understand where you're coming from. I'm not worth it to you guys. You don't pass that much. I agree. I'm not here to try to change your mind. We have both come to the same conclusion that I am just not the right fit here. I need a bigger role. I need more money than you guys can give me. So please, Adam Peters wants me. Washington wants me. I love their team, their quarterback. Can you please trade me to Washington? I'm not requesting a trade. I could publicly request a trade, but I'm coming to you out of respect privately and requesting a trade. Please trade me to Washington. And the Niners are like, no. But good try. Like I thought you thought like showing up and wearing a suit and doing it with a serious face would change our mind, but no. Good talk. That's what I think happened. That's my best guess.
Do you think Jaden Daniels is waiting in the lobby for him?
He FaceTimed Jaden. Bro, it didn't go well, man. It didn't. They said no. They said no? How could they say no to that? That was a great idea.
They
it took us all night to think of that plan. What?
Here's the other thing that I've been thinking about. You know, we can talk about things from the 49ers side. We can talk about things from Brandon Ayuk's side. Are either of them wrong? Like, no, is Brandon right. Yeah, they are. That's the thing. And this is why you can be at an impasse. Because I don't think either of them are wrong. I think Brandon Ayuk is completely within his limits and saying, listen, I want to be paid like Amon Ross St. Brown and Jaylen Waddle. I think that's fair. And I think it's totally fair the 49ers say, hey, listen, we just don't use you like that. It doesn't make sense for us to pay you that kind of money. We love you, Brandon. We love you at 26 a year, not 30. And this is where we're at. This is the best it's going to get. Just for us, it doesn't make sense. You'd be great somewhere else. But we also need you to make a Super Bowl run this year. So guess what? You're going to be here for sure this year, no matter what. Hope you enjoy the fifth-year option.
That's the thing, though. Like, you could say the Niners are right, but to just do nothing and make him play out his fifth-year option or take a deal that's frankly not realistic for his level of play is it's a slap in the face. It's unprecedented. It's not how they do business. They always want to take care of their players, right? They took care of Colton McKivitz. They took care of Juwan Jennings and Debo and everyone. And Ayuk is the one guy where they're like, look, you're going to have to play for a lot less than your market value for one more year. Sorry. We're having financial constraints. And that means you're having financial constraints. And I know you'd really like us to just trade you elsewhere so you could get your market value now, but we don't have to. So we're not gonna. And tough shit. Sorry, but we love you. But tough. When have they ever acted this way before? And why Ayuk?
They haven't. But if you look at this offseason as a whole and you look at what's to come this next offseason, we talked about this probably 2 months ago, where it seems like the 49ers always kind of give in and ultimately sign these guys. And one thing that I talked about at that time with you, Grant, was we're going to see how shrewd the 49ers really are in business this offseason and next offseason. And what I meant by that was it was different because now these players are aging. A lot of the players that are going to want to get paid, they're looking for their second big deals. They're aging now at this point. And Brock Purdy is going to get paid next offseason, most likely. So money's going to have to be played with a little bit differently, a little bit more frivolously. And when you look at what happened this offseason with Arik Armstead and basically paying him to leave and taking that cap hit, that was domino number one. Domino number two is Brandon Ayuk, your next young star ready to be paid. Well, you can't pay everybody forever. So maybe this is just really how they are going to do business going forward when they have a quarterback making a ton of money.
See, I would, if I were Ayuk, I wouldn't feel that's the case. He said he takes it personal. I would if I were him too. It's like, hold on, man. Like, you put me in the doghouse my second year and played Trent Sherfield ahead of me for weeks. Like, you extended everyone this offseason except me and then drafted a player to replace me. Like, what did I say to you, Kyle? What is it, man? I would take it personally. Like, you have this incredible relationship with Debo. I don't have that with you. And it's like you're punishing me for it. I didn't get the targets in the big game. I'm not getting the offer now. I'm not getting the respect now. In fact, it seems like you're happy to try to put me in my place. Like, why? I don't get it. But I mean, we'll never know what the hell they said to each other. I would imagine things have been said. I don't know. Maybe not.
Has your mind changed as far as how this thing's going to end? Because mine has been pretty steadfast that I believe a deal gets done and he's here week one. I'm going to stick to that. But every single time something new comes out, it gets a little bit more interesting.
Well, I will talk about that in a second. I'm going to answer that in a second. Let's make it another topic. Tanisha says, right, there's only two options to keep BA in good grace with the Niners. That's pay him or trade him. Locking him down on the Niners roster without paying him will not be good for our season. Well put. I completely agree. I don't think it's going to be good for the season. It's going to be good for their reputation. I don't think it'll help them with players and free agency. I think it could help them. They could lose the locker room if they start losing and they start looking at like a team that says one thing to players and then does another.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have another topic. I'm not going to get into the next topic, but I agree with this.
Remember, folks, Grant said a lap dance is $120. I did say that. I don't really know. Vincent Campo says, Jess with the Johnny Bravo look today. I like it.
Yeah, I have hair. A lot of people are like, I wonder if he's bald. He always wears hats.
Jut Hunt says, John and Kyler finally able to use the fifth-year option to negotiate. Never been able before. Bad drafts and defensive player of the year. Bad first-round drafts.
They used it on McGlinchey, and they promptly got rid of him. So I think they used it on a player that
they used it on Armstead.
They knew they didn't want to keep. Did they use it on Armstead?
Mm-hmm.
Did he play all the way through and then get his contract? Is that what happened?
Yes.
But that wasn't a player they drafted, though, either.
Right.
So
I had a bonus topic, and then I forgot it. I knew I should have went straight to it. I knew going to the Super Chats was a mistake.
Oh.
What are we talking about? We were talking about Brandon Ayuk and...
We were talking about from the 49ers side of things. It sounded like you read that comment about how there's only two ways to make Brandon happy and making him play out the fifth year option is a bad idea. It sounded like you were probably going to parlay into how this could be a Super Bowl hangover look. That's why I thought you were going with it.
I think we should probably go that direction. Hard to say what the Super Bowl hangover is, but it feels like it's this. That's going on with the 49ers right now, doesn't it? Like this thing.
Hard to quantify, but
yeah.
If I could feel it in the air, I would say it's a lot like this. Yeah, I mean, based off that last comment where they were talking about, listen, if you make them play on a fifth-year option, that's a quick way to piss people off. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Okay, worst-case scenario is Brandon is still on this team without a deal. There's multiple things that can happen. And a lot of people look at it and say, well, Brandon, I mean, it's not bad for the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk has to play really well if he wants to get paid next year. Yeah, kind of. But he only has to play really well when the ball is headed in his direction. He doesn't have to do all the little things really well anymore. He doesn't have to put his body on the line and make sure that Debo Samuel shines and Christian McCaffrey shines when the ball's going his direction. He can kind of ole a block or two because not every team in the league looks for their guys to block the way the 49ers do. But when the ball's coming his way, he absolutely can look like a superstar and put up his numbers and still get paid. But
also,
all those
what's
little
the point
things
of
matter.
Putting in all that extra work as a blocker when the Niners won't reward you financially? Right. They'll pretend like they might, but then they won't.
Right. Well, I mean, they didn't reward him financially in this scenario. So that's what I look at when I look at the Super Bowl hangover is players playing for themselves and their futures and not what's necessarily best for the team. And we can look at it from Brandon Ayuk's aspect, but we can do this for all 39 free agents that are headed into this next season without a deal. It's a lot of players.
Like, sorry.
No, I was just, that was it. I was just saying there's a lot of players that are out there that could be playing for themselves.
And I think it's common with losing the Super Bowl. Everyone sacrificed for the team goal. You came close, you didn't get it. And now you feel like, well, my individual stock is at an all-time high. And we may have missed our opportunity. So that as a team, so the time to sacrifice is over. I need to get as much as I can get right now. Yeah. And I think you see that a lot of times with teams that lose the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, someone like Brandon Ayuk needs more, not just money, but like, I need the recognition. I've been taking a backseat on this team for 4 years. We went to the Super Bowl. We let Debo be the freaking catalyst. We let McCaffrey be the catalyst. Didn't work out. Changing of the guard. It's my team now. It's like.
You remember when you interviewed Vernon Davis and he said Super Bowl hangover is a lot of players thinking they're the number one guy, but they're not, and they're wanting to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Vernon Davis was on this team instead of George Kittle, that he'd be looking at Brandon Ayuk under that pretense of what he said? Is Brandon Ayuk fit that mold of what he's talking about?
100%.
Or is Brandon Ayuk? Okay.
Because Brandon Ayuk is one of the best players on the team, mm-hmm. but he's acting like he's the best player on the team, not named Bosa, in terms like of what he can command financially. And I think players that like Trent, McCaffrey, anyone who makes less than what, like, so for example, Ayuk's getting offered 26 reportedly and he's pissed about it. McCaffrey doesn't make 26 and he's better than Ayuk. So I wonder like how much support in the locker room Ayuk really has for like his particular stance that he's taking.
Yeah, I mean, well, Debo probably thinks he's better than Ayuk, but I'm sure Ayuk thinks he's better than Debo too. I mean, they're friends, right? Supposedly, but there's also the competition. I'm sure if you got them both on a lie detector, they would think they're the better player. And that's healthy competition. So, you know, Debo's looking at it going, well, I'm better than you and you're making more money. And you've got CMC saying the same thing. Brock Purdy, I mean, he's the quarterback, so he's well underpaid, but there's nothing he can do about it right now. But yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of players that would think that. George Kittle. So yeah. I think Vernon Davis would look at Brandon Ayuk as one of those players that is kind of derailing their chance to go back and win another Super Bowl.
Which is like all the more reason to trade him. It's like, dude, if this is how you really feel, Brandon, like you don't like your role, you don't like your offer, you don't like this, you don't like that, like go be happy in freaking Indianapolis. Go be happy in, you know, wherever it is, whatever team we send you to where they'll get you the individual stats you want. Fine. Because we don't need that here. We need someone who's all in with their role so we can win the Super Bowl. And that used to be you. But if it's not you anymore, but again, like he'd be like, yeah, fine, trade me. That's great. Absolutely. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. And then I was like, oh, well, we were just kidding.
Well, nobody wants to give a first. So what are we going to do? I mean, you're worth a first and we're not going to be, you know.
Yeah. No, I it's going to be interesting. They're going to try to make this work on the fifth year option. I think it's going to be awkward. We're going to talk about some Hunger Games aspect in a minute, but I want to do some sleeper picks before the WNBA games get underway because I'm big into it. As
did
everyone,
we win, did we win? Did we win last time on the WNBA picks?
We did. I'm going to show. Hold on. Let me just get this. All right, there we go. So
did we really? Did we really did. Win?
Oh, absolutely. Time? We got one wrong, but we gave ourselves a little leeway on this one. Caitlin Clark got it on the assists. De'Arik Ahambi got it on the points. We knew it wasn't her night. Just had a feeling. I think she's kind of an up and down player. Kelsey Plume, just a terrific shooter. And then Asia Wilson, we missed that one by half a point. But we're doing really well with WNBA, so let's keep it going.
Literally the first time we win is WNBA. This is great.
Hell yeah. So Caitlin Clark playing today, thank goodness. Boy, I like watching her pout when other people shoot. That's so funny. Have you seen that? I love that. Okay, so she's really 13 assists in the last game. 6.5. That seems like we got her on the assist last time.
Yeah, I think we're going more on that one.
That one's a tough one. I feel like she's right there.
Points, rebounds, and assists, though. That's, you know, that's my like specialty. 30, pretty high. You know what? Let's just go with assists and let's
I'm
go
feeling
more.
Good about the assists, man.
Me too.
Because so 94%
of people.
Yeah, right. Okay. Boom. This is where the smart bettors go. The smart money all over this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Angel Reese, bingo. She's a rebounding monster. She put up 25.
Yeah, I was going to say rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, she's just a machine for the rebounds. Yeah,
we're going more. For
11
sure.
And a half. Okay. That's smart. Well, we're experienced WNBA sleeper pickers, though.
Pretty Asia much.
Angel Wilson got us last time. I'm a little nervous to go that direction. So many good options.
So many good help.
Bloom.
Kelsey Bloom. We did Bloom. It. There we go. There
Freeze.
We go.
Oh, ooh, man. We got lucky on that.
I like less. I like less.
Less?
Yeah.
Oh, this is really important. We got to get this right. Okay, Les.
No.
Les, I hear that. One more. Someone we really know well. Ogwumike, for sure. Stanford's finest. Okay.
She's your favorite.
Oh, wait. Points or rebounds? Yikes. I don't feel really good about this one. She's 33. Man.
I feel. Like less on the points.
I feel like less on the points. No wonder I've heard of her because she's like almost my age. Boom. These are our picks. Combo. See, we win fewer money if we're right. If we just go for the max, get $85 for a $10 entry. But this, I'm going combo.
I'm a modest person. Safe bets. I like safe bets. Yeah.
And I like that Sleeper gives you the option. So if you want to do the Sleeper app yourself, download it, use the promo code CONE, COHN, get a deposit match up to $100. All right. Let's take that off the screen. Jesse. Well, they drafted Ricky Pearsall. It's pretty clear the Niners are thinking they can keep one of Ayuk or Debo. Purdy's expensive. Cap is going up a lot, but Purdy's so expensive, it's going to be tough for them to keep two premium wide receivers at that price point. So one's got to go. And I think earlier in the offseason, most people thought, yeah, trade Debo. He's older. He's not getting better. Ayuk's ascending. He's so important to this offense, and he's crucial, his chemistry with Brock Purdy. How do you feel now?
I still think Debo's the right move, but you know, this goes back to, it was Mike Silver that brought this up, I believe. He said that, you know, it's pretty clear cut. If Brandon Ayuk gets a contract, then Debo's the one that's out. But if Ayuk doesn't get a contract and plays on the fifth year options, then it becomes Hunger Games. Who's the one to go? And completely agreed with that. But back when he said it was like, well, yeah, but Ayuk's going to get the deal, so Debo's gone. Like, what are we talking about? But now it's starting to look more and more realistic. Like, hey, fifth year option, this might be a possibility. True Hunger Games. I want to talk about this aspect, though. Both players certainly know it's Hunger Games. Debo Samuel is somebody who's worn the captain's patch. And you and I have both argued, hey, you know what? I think Ayuk actually is a captain's team. The way that he's kind of mentored other players, the way that he's the one that stands up to Fred Warner in practice, the way that he's always in shape.
The effort he plays with in May and June.
Everything. Blocking downfield, all of it. Ayuk should be a captain, not Debo. But I find it interesting that Debo, who also knows it's Hunger Games, has come in phenomenal shape. And at first, a couple months ago or a month or so ago, we saw him working out with Ricky Pearsall. And we're like, wow, that's a leadership thing to do. I mean, this is your potential replacement. And you're working out with him. Look at you, man, just showing him the ropes. What a good teammate. But now I look at it and say, well, you're doing that. And now you were recently seen with cowing as well. Is this him fighting for his position on the team as a leader and bringing those guys under his wing and being like, we don't need BA. I mean, listen, I love BA, but at $30 million, you can have me at 24 and I'll be a Niner forever and everything will be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why, you know,
that way?
Yeah, why blow it all up for this guy who wants $30 million when I make 23.8 and I'm better? And these young guys can do a lot of what that guy can do. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting. Like, Debo's super smart, and I think he understands the situation that they're in. I think Ayuk does too. And he's looking at it like, okay, like, team hasn't decided yet. Ayuk's making it tough on him. Ayuk's not showing up. Ayuk's disgruntled. All right, you know what I can do? The opposite. I'll be there. And not only will I be at OTAs and minicamp, I'm going to practice. Fred Warner's not going to practice. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be out there setting the tone, not just as a captain, but as the leader. And it's such an obvious message. Like, one guy doesn't want to be here. I'm practicing. One guy doesn't like his role in the offense. The other guy loves it. So, I mean, one guy wants to be here and one doesn't. Simple as that. That's a smart position for Debo to be in.
Yeah, it is a very smart position. And again, these are, I'm not trying to like say it's contentious between Debo and Ayuk necessarily, but they both know what's at stake here. And they both have to look out for themselves. I mean, they're number one. And I don't blame Debo if that's the route he's taking. That's really the leverage he has in this scenario. Brandon Ayuk also knows that if he gets paid, that Debo's likely gone and he's not asking for a dollar less. So fair play. Do what you got to do to be a part of this 49er organization as long as you can. But one of them is likely going to be gone. It seemed like it was for sure going to be Debo. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it's like they're both making business decisions and doing what's best for their future. And Ayuk has made a decision that was best for him is to either convince the Niners to give him a bigger role or to leave. And Debo, I think, has decided that his best move is to stay here and to ride it out with Kyle Shanahan because Kyle trusts him and he likes Kyle. So Ayuk's interesting. Like, I'm not a big Kyle guy. I think Ayuk and me, if we were like had a candid moment over a beer, we could probably go off on Kyle Shanahan and agree on a lot of things. Whereas Debo would probably be Kyle's advocate. Like, no, he made me rich. He's really good. He knows how to use me in ways that no one else does. Whole different perspective. Kind of interesting.
He's always been very honest with me. During this offseason when I was asking if I was going to get traded, they let me know exactly where I stood and why I wasn't going to get traded. Yeah. I mean, that's probably two very different conversations that happened between Debo and Kyle and Ayuk and Kyle.
And here's the thing, like, is who's younger? Ayuk. Who's improving? Ayuk. Who's better right now? Ayuk. But who's more replaceable? It's hard to find people that do what Debo does. And like, what does Debo do? He plays wide receivers on a great route runner, but he's the best after the catch in the game. And he can play running back too if you need him to, which they did need him to do in 2021, and he was freaking really good at it. Let's say Christian McCaffrey goes down, which he has done multiple times in his career for long stretches. Boom, you got Debo.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I think the reason we view Debo the way that we do is because CMC came here and CMC has been healthy here. But the moment that CMC goes down, Debo's importance does skyrocket for sure. Now, if CMC stays healthy, then Ayuk is clearly the more important player out of these two. But Debo can easily get back into that movement.
Also, Debo at this point is like an affordable top 10 receiver in the league. His price point is downright reasonable. As opposed to Ayuk, who's getting quarterback money, low-level quarterback money, going to. So that's another reason to look at Debo a little differently. Like, well, like, I would trade Ayuk right now for Terry McLaurin. Why? Because he's a couple years older and a little cheaper. Like, that's Debo. Now, they have different skill sets, but all of a sudden, Debo is in the 49ers budget at 23 and a half. And they can always renegotiate his deal the next couple of years and make him even more affordable. Whereas Ayuk, like, good luck.
The question, though, becomes how important are either of these guys to the skill set of your new quarterback? Because Debo Jimmy made a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
That's true.
I don't know that he makes as much sense with Brock Purdy, who can do a lot more than Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's true.
So, I mean, is Brandon Ayuk paired with Ricky Pearsall? Is that the better option? Or is Debo Samuel paired with Ricky Pearsall the better option? I don't know. I mean, the 49ers know better than we do as far as what they actually want to run. But to me, it seems like having two guys that can route run their butts off is probably the way that I would go.
Or is Purdy so good that you really don't need to splurge at that expensive position and you can instead invest in the offensive line and tight end? And Purdy, I mean, that's what the Chiefs do, right? They have the best quarterback in the league and they've realized like, man, we don't need to have the best weapons because the quarterback's so good. All you got to do is just give him time, him, Travis Kelce, and whoever the hell will work it out. George Kittle isn't exactly Travis Kelce, but it's pretty close. Brock Purdy isn't exactly Patrick Mahomes, but he's really good. And his numbers when he has more than 2.5 seconds to throw or is off the charts. Is it possible that the Niners just figure out like, you know what? It'd be nice to have these wide receivers for a year or two more, but ultimately, we're not going to be spending big money at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. You would hope that they would have pivoted towards an offensive line heavy draft, if that's what they wanted to do. I don't know. I think that's the right way to build the team, personally. If Brock Purdy's that deal, I think that's the right way to build the team. I think protecting him and making sure he stays upright and healthy and all of those things, giving him time also gives your receivers more time to get open. So I would build that way, but I don't know that the 49ers will ever build that way.
You could argue that that's the best way to build no matter what. Like, the wide receiver market is crazy, but the wide receiver talent in every draft is also off the charts. So the incentive to actually give out these huge second contracts to a wide receiver, it seems low. You literally can replace these players with draft picks. And they may not be exactly as good. Like, Pearsall isn't going to be as good as Brandon Ayuk, but he'll be six times cheaper. You should probably be drafting wide receivers and not re-signing many of them. Unless you really feel he's a Hall of Famer.
So then if you're drafting receivers, are you advocating for paying offensive linemen then?
Yeah.
Because that's the only other way. If you're not drafting the offensive linemen, then you're going to have to pay him.
No, I mean, like, I'm not saying draft a wide receiver in round one every year, but like every 5 years. When it's time to replace the guy, like, replace him in the draft. But give the second contracts to offensive linemen, not wide receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's always the best way to build a team. Yeah. I mean, building through the trenches. Tom Brady, low key, if you've paid attention to this offseason and what he said on Coward Show, he's really unintentionally put the 49ers philosophy completely on blast. He talked about how important the offensive line is. We talked about that over here. That was a topic that we had. Absolutely. He talked about how important it is for the quarterback to have autonomy at the line of scrimmage and be able to call the plays that they want to call with the protections. That's not something that Kyle Shanahan does. So it's funny that Shanahan's like labeled this genius, but the guy who has seven rings and has been the best quarterback ever, probably, is sitting here every time he talks saying the exact opposite of what the 49ers do to win a Super Bowl.
Also, I think it's kind of funny in retrospect. It seems like a million years ago, but in 2020, there was discussion like, hey, the Niners could have had Tom Brady. He was interested, but Kyle didn't really want to go for him. He wanted to keep Jimmy. Like, the Niners have been flirting with Tom Brady for years, and there was a report last year that they might have wanted to go get him. It never would have freaking happened because of what Tom Brady said. Like, Tom Brady would have eventually sat down in a meeting room with Kyle before it happened, and they sort of would have brainstormed what working together would have looked like. And Tom would have said, okay, so I want autonomy here, here, and here. And Kyle would have been like, pardon? We don't do that here. And it would have fallen apart right there. Never would have happened. Same with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, let's, I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but we're talking Brandon Ayuk negotiations. Brock Purdy negotiations. What if the hang up with Brock Purdy is not even money? He's willing to take a little bit less. He understands that, listen, I want a good team around me. I'm willing to take a little bit less. Look at how much I was making. The money's fine. We're good here. But going forward, I want the ability to protect myself and put myself in the best position to be successful. And when I do that, I'm doing that for the team as well. I want to call my own audibles. I want to set my own protections. Do you think that could be a hang up in their conversations?
Absolutely. It'd be pretty cool if Purdy would push for that.
I would hope.
And if
he
does push for that, you can bet the Niners are going to trade him and get Kirk Cousins. Cool. Do what he's told. Hell yeah, man. I'm telling you, dude. Here's the going to be the twist of the year, of the century. Brock Purdy, what's happening to Ayuk is going to happen to Brock. They're going to have some type of hang up in the negotiations. It's not going to happen. He's going to play out his fourth year on his rookie deal. Then they're going to tag him and trade him and go get Kirk Cousins when Michael Penix takes Kirk Cousins' job. I'm calling it right now. 2026, Kirk Cousins, 39 years old, Niners quarterback. Wait for it.
Oh wow. Yeah. And come to find out,
sorry, Brock,
really,
we just don't pass that much. I know you want $65 million, but we were 32nd in the league in passing attempts, and you're just not worth that much to us. So we're gonna make you a really generous offer of $55 million, which is totally not in line with where the market is today, but it's where the market was last year. And we're always sort of a year behind over here. And we sort of want you to work with us because we've won so many Super Bowls. So what do you say, Brock? And we're going to really kind of demean you in the negotiation process and sort of tell you all the things that your insecurities about. We feel those ways. But again, like your arm is kind of weak and you throw a lot of picks and all that stuff. We're going to throw it right back in your face. But no, be our guy long term. What do you say?
What, one more Brock Purdy contract question. Do you feel like if he was eligible this offseason and still had 2 years left on his deal, that they would have worked out a deal this offseason?
Hell
with him?
No.
I don't think so either.
It's not how they do business. You could argue that would be the smart thing to do.
I don't think
but
so.
But no. I have a question. Last thing with Ayuk, and then we're done with him for today. Knowing how the Niners do business, I have a tough time believing that Mike Silver's report is accurate or up to date. I mean, 26 million tops. There are so many ways you can offer more than that without really offering more than that. You could call it $30 million a year. You could call it $31 million a year, but it's backloaded. There's a void year. All the guaranteed money is done in the first 2 years. Like, there's so many ways to give a player what he wants for his ego so he can tell his peers, like, oh, I'm on your level, or he could have the headline that he's like the highest paid, whatever. But really, it's a team-friendly deal. And what matters is the guaranteed money. Is it possible that, like, the real story here is that the Niners have offered, hey, we'll give you the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. But the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal only has like $35 million fully guaranteed. A.J. Brown has $50 million fully guaranteed, and he's an second-team All-Pro too. So that seems more realistic to me, that it's really more of an issue about that. And I could see the Niners being cheap on that, like, oh, $50 million guaranteed for Ayuk? We got to put that in escrow? Like, oh, God. We just put in $80 million for escrow for Bosa. We're going to have to put $150 million in escrow for Purdy next year. Like, can't we save a little money on guarantees for Ayuk? And the answer is no. No, you can't.
I've always thought that was the hangup. I mean,
that's the issue,
average,
right?
Annual value. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's, if you look at the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal and the Waddle deal, you can point to average annual value, but the devil's in the details, which is the guaranteed money. Both of those guys got less guaranteed money than Debo got 2 years ago.
Right.
At $41 right. million, I think he got guaranteed.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley just got around $46 million guaranteed. Now, his average annual value is only 23, but he got 46 fully guaranteed. So that's probably closer to where he wants to be. He's probably looking closer at 45 to anywhere from, I mean, that's a big money range, but 45 to 55 fully guaranteed, not 35 to 40. So
Well, AJ Brown just got a 3-year extension. 3 years, $96 million, $51 million fully guaranteed. I would think that's what Ayuk wants. You could argue whether or not he's as good as AJ Brown or not, but I'm thinking somewhere around that is what he wants.
You know what else could be the hang up as well? And is likely that a part of this, the years. Hmm. I think it's possible the 49ers are offering a 3-year deal and he wants a 4-year deal.
I was going to say, I was thinking the Niners are offering a 5-year deal and he wants a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Something they could backload. Something with a bunch of funny money at the end that isn't real. You know what I mean?
Could be possible as well. Yep.
Yeah. Lock yourself in for 5-6 years, but really it's like team options on the last 4. Like, no, I want a 3-year deal, money up front. I want to hit my free agency again in my 20s.
Yeah. That could be a possibility too.
We don't really do business like that around here. Sorry. You know, I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of what Debo did, right? Like Debo at the end of his deal is going to be just turning 29 or 30. I think maybe
it was 30. A 3-year extension. Yeah. Was it not? It was.
I think so. Yeah.
It was a 3-year extension starting last year, mm-hmm. ending next year.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me. That's what I would want to do if you really are betting on yourself. Like, let me get a third contract before I hit 30, especially if I'm a wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, and this is where like the Pearsall discussion always came in for me. It's like, If Brandon Ayuk does a 3-year deal, by the end of that deal, he'll be, I think, 29. That's what Pearsall is going to be at the end of his first deal. Like, that's rough.
Is that true? That's rough.
Yeah, his five. I mean, think
he's
about
gonna
it.
He's going to be 30 Pearsall, by the time he gets his second. That's so messed 20, up. He should have stayed in college forever.
He'll be 29 the day that the season opens on his first. On his second contract after the 5th-year deal.
So funny. So half hour ago, I said, hey, maybe teams should just be drafting wide receivers and never giving them second contracts. I think the Niners have figured that out. Like, that's Pearsall.
we're not going to give Pearsall a second contract.
Absolutely not. Matter. But he's going to be ready to go right away. No development, but second contract. 30. By the time Pearsall is eligible for a second contract, the wide receiver market, they'll be making $50 million a year in 5 years. They'll be making $60 million a year. Like, no chance, Ricky. No chance.
And you're gonna give a 29-year-old a 4-year deal? Absolutely.
Not gonna happen.
No.
Definitely not. So interesting. Nope. We've really talked about the economics of the wide receiver position all offseason. It's kind of annoying. I'm like, this position is getting like too overpaid. It's like you're important, but not this important.
No, it's not. No. I mean, it is important, but
there's a reason why a wide receiver will never win an MVP.
Well, there's a reason why if you look at the top 10 wide receivers of all time, a lot of them haven't won Super Bowls.
That's right.
And Jerry Rice, as great as he was, they won Super Bowls before Jerry was here. Now, listen, Jerry's phenomenal. I'm not trying to downtalk what That's Jerry true, meant and how great he is, but they did win 2 rings before he was here. I mean, those things also happen. Randy That's Moss true. Has 0 rings. Calvin Johnson, T.O. 0 rings. T.O., 0 rings. Who's buddy in the Falcons? What was his name? Julio Jones, no rings.
Tom Brady said it last week. Like, look, if defenses want to take a wide receiver away on the outside, they absolutely can do it.
Yeah,
jam him, safety over the top. He's out. From Brady's perspective, I'm not throwing there.
Steve Smith, 0 rings. Antonio Brown got a ring, but he was like the 5th option on a Tom Brady led Super Bowl team.
That's true.
With the Buccaneers.
It's true. Like,
yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just,
you don't need one receiver making $30+ million a year. You need a bunch of weapons.
Yeah.
You could take away one guy.
Of course.
And the Niners have a bunch of weapons. And if they pay Purdy and Ayuk, it's just going to be those two. And it's not the best quarterback wide receiver. It's good. It's not the best. It's not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Ayuk deserves to get paid, but I also can understand where the 49ers are coming from. So curious to see how this plays out.
I think Don Lynch is in an awful position. I think he's put himself in the position. If he gives Brandon Ayuk $30+ million a year with $50 million guaranteed, he caved. He lost. And if he trades Ayuk, he caved. He lost. So he's like put himself in this position where he can't do anything. Because he acted too late.
Always. It's always because they act. They're the most reactive organization when it comes to re-signing their players.
All they can do is do nothing at this point. That's it. Otherwise, any move they make is a loss. Paying Ayuk what he wants, loss. Trading him now, loss.
Keeping him on a fifth-year option, loss. Because then he's pissed off. The one time they paid somebody early was Dre Greenlaw, and it worked out phenomenally for them.
So why would you do that again?
Yeah, no idea.
Steven Andrews says, I love Vernon, the real 85. He really signed his book at the end. Vernon, the real 85 Davis. You see that?
Yeah, I see it. He's the
I just thought that
85.
Was interesting. I mean, he wouldn't talk about it really, but it's like he has more touchdown catches than Dwight Clark. I mean, statistically, he's the greatest tight end in Niners history, statistically. And he never existed. 85 is Kittle's number. He's not honored in any way, as opposed to Frank Gore, Patrick Willis. I'm not saying Vernon Davis is Frank Gore or Patrick Willis, but from his perspective, if I were Vernon, I'd think I was on their freaking level. What? But I don't know. Debo is a TD machine made for the offense. 17 touchdowns the last 2 years.
I mean, he definitely gets the end zone.
Not 17.
What, 7 last year or something like that?
Yeah, 6 foot. Yeah. Gammon Brown, I love it when you have Last Second Sports on your channel. Thank you, at Jesse. Who is your barber? I hope you tip them well.
And they're in Tampa. You wouldn't know, but yeah, I definitely do. They're awesome. Thanks, Gammon.
Jeff Caravella says, strictly in the interest of changing topics, do we have faith in our kicker this year?
No. Why would you? What has
he
done
to extension.
Gain faith? Yeah. He wants to get paid, man.
Yeah, he's pissed. He also wants a bigger role in the offense. He wants more touches. Rishi says, maybe Jed doesn't have the cash to pay BA and BP the guaranteed money. Looks like the NFL needs to have a cap for guaranteed money. Owners going bankrupt. Oh, yeah, man. Maybe the Niners need to sell Leeds United so they can afford the guaranteed money for the next two big contracts that they're going to be giving.
Yeah, they're not running the lemonade stand. We can't just pay these guys.
Hey, how's Leeds doing these days?
I don't have no idea.
How's that going for them? Are they in the Premier League? Are they still in that yet? No?
No.
He's good, man. Because when you can put together a championship organization in football, just go try soccer. What can't you do? Jimmy Kwan says BA is on a good team and could make money in endorsements, but I don't think he's comfortable being a spokesman. He could sell track. I feel like this offseason has kind of revealed that Brandon Ayuk would like to be a star. He's just not one. I'm sorry. Like, he just doesn't have it. Like, the personality. He can't get people on his side. The more he talks, the less support he gets.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of a quiet mm-hmm. guy who's trying to like break out of his shell, I guess, but I don't know. We like
Debo
Brandon
has a personality
because of who he was.
Debo and Kittle have like big personalities. Ayuk doesn't.
No, but he takes his craft very seriously, and that's why we like
which him. Is more important
Wait,
than High George. I just realized I had a really weird dream last night with George Karloftis in it. And he was like dominating. And someone was saying, that George Karloftis is really good. Why did I dream that? That just hit me right now.
He was
now.
Just
George
the best
Karloftis
football player in the world.
He was an animal in this dream, man. He's everywhere.
He was everywhere.
I had the worst dreams. Like, why did I? George Karloftis? Whew. Eric says, in the past decade, no Super Bowl champion have paid a wide receiver over $20 million.
Well, I mean, when did they start getting paid?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why do wide receivers never win MVPs? Why was Tyreek Hill not a serious candidate for the MVP? Because even the number one wide receiver, how many catches a game is he making? Seven, eight? That's not enough of an impact.
Like, let's just break it. Let's just break it down from a reasonable standpoint. Okay. Let's say you have 60, we'll just call it 60 offensive plays in a game. The quarterback is going to touch it all 60 times, mm-hmm. unless you have a trick play or something, maybe 59. Okay. your offensive line is going to have to block all 60 times. So those two are really important. Okay. Your running back is probably going to touch the ball 20 plus times. Your wide receiver is going to get max 10 attempts to catch the ball, and they might pull down six.
Tyreek Hill averaged 7.4 catches per game last season. It was a career high.
Okay, so what are we talking about? 10% of the time you're involved?
It's just not enough. 10%. And yeah, like you could block or you could run off coverage, but like running back's is gonna be involved in like half the plays. McCaffrey legitimately had a case last year. He was the offense. Wide receivers, just, and so they're very important passing game rules, but it's more about having three plus a tight end and a running back who can beat linebackers than having one.
Yeah.
Chiefs made that pretty clear. I think the Bills figured it out too. Why did they get rid of Stephon Diggs? Because he's freaking expensive and they didn't win a Super Bowl with him. So what the hell?
Here's another thing that if I was Brandon Ayuk, you know the little thing with Forrester, how talked about when it comes to drafting offensive linemen that they would prefer to draft somebody that touches the ball and is on the outside? Well, if I was Brandon Ayuk in that meeting, I'd be like, well, that's great. But now it's time to pay one of those guys. So shouldn't you be paying guys that touch the ball if we're so important? I mean, you said we're more important to your offense than every offensive lineman that you have, basically. So pay up.
I mean, you could argue that tight ends are more valuable than wide receivers, because when tight ends aren't catching passes, they're actually blocking, like in the like at the point of attack.
Yeah.
In the history of the NFL since the first Super Bowl, how many wide receivers do you think have won the MVP?
Three.
None.
Really?
I just Googled it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I said how many
wide receivers have won MVPs? As of March 2022, no wide receiver has ever won the MVP.
I was thinking Super Bowl MVP. You're talking league MVP.
League MVP, the offensive player of the year, absolutely. But MVP, it's never happened.
No. Yeah, I don't think it's happened. Super Bowl MVP, yes. And not many there either, but okay. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
David E. says, how common is it to remake, not retool, a player's contract when there are two more years remaining?
It's becoming more common, I think, because of the way these deals are written. AJ Brown, it just happened with. CMC, it just happened with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's starting to happen more often.
Yeah, I agree. How many players with injury history have the Niners paid? Why is the only player that doesn't miss a game the one that we can't give guaranteed money? When you put it that way.
Good point. Debo had some history. Kittle, obviously. Yeah, Trent.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tinker, what exactly is the strap string that BA wears hanging from the back of his pants jersey? Just wondering. I don't know, but I think it looks pretty cool.
I think all it is actually a stripped down towel.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just a cut up towel that's folded over itself. And
doesn't Ustrek have one too?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it looks cool. I don't know why, but I like it.
Yeah.
All right. That's the show. Thanks for watching. Niners Beat, a very special edition of 49ers Before Dark. Make sure you like and subscribe the channel, the show, whatever the things that the kids do these days. Do those things. Do the same for Last Second Sports.
Appreciate y'all.
Hey, how about the Niners having to end their relationship with Dr. Disrespect, huh? Oh, anyway, have a good one, everyone.